Senior Focus. Good afternoon, everyone. I'm Anne-Marie Khoury. I'm your presenter for this edition of Senior Focus. And today I've come through a few rain showers and hailstorms, and so I did yesterday. And I'm no doubt some people are battling with snow and no power. So it seems like the depths of winter when spring flowers are just bursting through, and we're getting that sort of feeling that spring might be in the air, but it feels very chilly. However, on my agenda today is a conversation about the chilliness of coping with your budget and looking at how things are going to balance out, given that we got a very tiny increase in our super. Some people who are on an M tax code will have received $4.30 a fortnight. They may not have noticed because of the costs that are increasing around us, and so many basic costs are going up and up. So electricity, of course, is one of those that's really hurting people. And that was one of the reasons why Grey Power set up Grey Power Electricity. And it was meant to be a disruptor in the marketplace. And what it achieved was when it came into being, it brought with it a lower tariff for low users. So if you were someone who didn't waste electricity but were frugal and very careful in your use of electricity, you could get by on this lower tariff and save quite a lot of money on your power bill. However, that's been phased out. But there are still advantages. It's still advantageous for people to shop around. And while I don't advocate any particular power company, I do suggest that you look into PowerShop, that you look into those avenues where you can compare the results of different power companies, of what they would charge at your address given your ICP number. Now, that ICP number is the number on your meter box, which you have to go outside to read through the glass. And in some cases, the glass is signed kind of discoloured and foggy. It's a bit difficult to see through it. But that ICP number is on every invoice that goes out from every power company. And again, you may not get your invoice as a paper invoice, because they charge you $1.50 for that, but it may come through the internet, and you may have to look at it very carefully. I know I look at my bill on my phone, so I'm looking at it in sections. It's possible not to notice the ICP number. You have to go looking for it. Sometimes it's on the back of the invoice. But everyone has one of these, and that is actually how you are charged. So it's your ICP number and the readings that come from that numbered meter box that actually determines what your power bill actually ends up being. So it's worthwhile keeping a register of certain information about your bills and about your property, and that's one of the key things, because if you're getting the power taken off or put back on, that's a key piece of information which you've got to have. So amongst my filing system for critical documents, I do have a piece of paper that actually has the ICP number on it, and I've found it invaluable in the past. And of course, every time you move to a different property, you're going to have a different ICP number and a different meter box. So it's something you just don't do that often, maybe, but you need to have it in your basic information system. Now, going back to the budget, some people have always done their budgeting a particular way. They're in a system for doing it, and that's fine. But then things change. Life changes. Your situation changes. A partner dies, or somebody else comes to live with you, or you have a niece or a nephew coming to stay and boarding for a long time. So consequently, your calculations have to adjust. And therefore, it can be very worthwhile exercise to actually go through what you're spending on, how your spending is going from week to week. And for people who carry a certain amount of money around with them and then just spend till it's gone, that can be a discipline. So it can be really advantageous to have a notebook and write down everything you spend for a particular week. At the end of that week, analyse where it's gone, on what's on essentials, what's on the wants of that week, and what's on the needs, and what's on the nice-to-haves. And you can see where you can trim and what you can trim. And while there may not be a lot you can trim these days, I can see that obviously if you shop on a Tuesday when you can get 5% with the gold card, you do save some dollars, which can go towards your petrol, which if you spend on a particular day of the week, you often can get 10 cents off your pump price. So all these kinds of things, there are people who say, oh, I never bother with this. It's like driving to the supermarket to save money on a special when you're actually wasting all that petrol getting there. So there are swings and roundabouts, and you do have to look at the whole picture. But budgeting is a discipline, and it brings rewards because the savings mount up and the savings go back to you, and you're the beneficiary of those savings. So what effort you put in, you do get back in that form, and so it's worth it. The other thing is that some people don't realise that having two heads on it is better than one. So getting along to an organisation that's set up to do budget advice can be very valuable. They have lots of incentives in their cupboards that they can hand out to people who are struggling or who are trying to sort out a debt or trying to save for a particular goal. So they will actually connect you up with suppliers that are offering incentives. And if you've got a large bill with an entity like Watercare, they will help you apply to the Watercare Trust, and you can pay that off over time and even get some of that bill wiped completely. So a lot of people don't know about these things. They don't know that budget advisors can help them in these ways. They don't know that they could save money off their power bill, because just being with a budget advisor and having that person interact with the power company can actually lead to some changes in your bill and certainly less penalties. So getting penalties deducted from corporates can actually save you a lot of money in the short and the long term. And when there's an advocate involved, you're not dealing directly with the company. You're not actually having to front up and argue your case. Someone else is doing that, and that takes a lot of the sweat out for you. So I would suggest, if you have any problems, if you feel that bills are getting out of control because it's the end of winter and everything's cost more than you expected, and you haven't been able to save enough for what you need to cover Christmas, it's a good time to step in now and get help now, so that you can actually face Christmas with a little less stress and be more in charge and find a bit more support. And I know that certain entities work with certain supermarkets, and so you may find that you're gifted a $50 shopping voucher. I'm saying qualifying what I'm saying here, because every budget advisor doesn't do every one of these things for every client, and every situation is unique and different. So I'm not going to make statements and promises here that are unrealistic or not going to happen. I don't want to give false impressions. It's really important, though, that people are given help and incentives to get on top of daunting bills and debts. If things are really bad, all they want to do is run away or stop opening the mail. And those kinds of responses immediately, as they come to hand, are not helpful. So I do encourage you to seek help. And sometimes it's painful. It's shameful, perhaps, if you've been taught to handle money in a particular way and you're not able to do that. You may feel quite deeply ashamed. But really, when you look into it, what people are expected to live on these days and what the prices actually are and what the difficulties are and what the gaps are between what you receive and what you have to pay out. No one really should feel ashamed, because there are no silver linings in the magic of your letterbox. You know, you're not going to suddenly be relieved of the situation. Only by systematically looking at what you're spending, how you're spending, where you're spending, when you're spending, only looking at the way you actually behave around money, are you really going to get a handle on how this whole game works and how you're coming out of it. And I do see people who've made enormous changes in their lives, and when they started out, were very, very unsure of their process, of their level of hope, and their self-belief. But all of that changed, and they were able to get on top, and they were able to do something. Yeah, they, I'm not saying they're going to be living in luxury or suddenly be able to afford a mansion or suddenly get some large win like lotto. No, I'm not thinking like that. I'm just saying that attacking something step by step in a quiet and systematic way can actually build a result that might surprise you. And most people, it takes around about 2 to 3 years to make a significant shift in their overall financial status. But often a tremendous shift can occur in that time frame. So it's a good idea to actually think about, where do you want to be 3 years from now? It's a bit hard to think 5 years ahead, because the world's changing quite rapidly, and people in our age group are ageing, and so their circumstances are becoming more challenging sometimes. But 3 years is an easier sort of target. It's not so difficult to imagine. And when you look at how many potential opportunities there are in each year to do small things, to make moves, and even just start an activity that brings you joy. It may cost very little, but it's a shift, and that shift may give you enough pleasure to open up your whole being to thinking differently about life. I know people who've taken up crafts like crocheting or knitting. It's been very therapeutic. There are groups you can go to. You don't even have to have wool or needles. You can just turn up and people will supply things. There are so many craft activities that you can go to that are very low cost, and it's not like having to come up with hundreds of dollars to join a golf club, but your level of enjoyment can be very high for a very low cost input. Now, I'm also conscious that in this period of time where we're in September and we're moving towards the Christmas period, we've got lots of organisations running events. They're wanting to get people out from their homes from winter and get them interacting and get them exploring and sharing and connecting again. And lots of organisations have got things planned for October and November. So we will have discussions on this station, on Senior Focus, about some of these upcoming events and so on. So we're going to keep you posted on what's worth going to and what kinds of initiatives are running out in the community. And one of the ways that we're going to do this is we're going to develop a database of our supporters and our listeners and our stakeholders, people who believe in our vision and who share our values. And this is going to allow us to have a more free flow exchange of information and sharing ideas and understand more about how you appreciate this program, what you get from it, and what you want to give to it, and how you want to be part of Senior Focus in the future. I've been very impressed with the people who've been coming forward and offering their time and their energy and their skills to make sure that Senior Focus is a robust organisation in terms of being able to stay on air and sustain a program. So this is our 9th birthday coming up, and we're going to be celebrating it at the Digital Seniors Expo on the North Shore on the 10th of November. This is not the first time I've mentioned the event, but I'm just saying that while the event is for all seniors and their families and the community at large, and while it's definitely focused on opening up possibilities of new technology, new opportunities of learning and new opportunities of sharing information, even though it's wider than just our interest in digital communication through the radio, it's an opportunity for us to link with other organisations, perhaps who don't have access to radio and yet want their voices heard. So we're looking forward to a lot of networking with a lot of seniors organisations over the next month as we build awareness of the event. And that's why we're wanting to develop this database, so that we can get emails out to people. So if you want to be included in anything, you just need to either come on to planetaudio.org.nz and find us on the Planet website under Senior Focus, looking under S in the program section, or you can email us at seniorfocus104.6fm, all lowercase, at gmail.com. So that email again, seniorfocus104.6fm at gmail.com. And we'd love to hear from you. And I will make sure that we respond and we dialogue with you so that there becomes plenty of opportunity for us to understand how you're receiving the program and what you're finding. Some of the feedback I'm getting from people at the moment is they went looking for the program on the Planet website and they couldn't find it. They were looking for Anne-Marie Currie. They weren't looking for Senior Focus. Or they were looking for Senior Focus but not in a way that was working for them. And so the fastest link, if you're wanting to listen to a program that's already been broadcast, you want to pick up on a recent program as a podcast, the fastest link is to just put Senior Focus Auckland into Google. And that will get you there. It's a lot quicker than going to the Planet website itself. So I say that to help people who may have been frustrated or anybody who's found it a bit daunting. Now, we've got school holidays coming up, and one of the things that happens for people during school holidays is they get to see their grandkids or they get to go on trips and adventures with family members and connect with these grandchildren. And there are opportunities to look at issues and talk about things. Maybe there's some conflict which gets swept under the carpet rather than being dealt with. And maybe you notice things about the children. You notice they're more anxious than they used to be. They're more easily upset about certain things. You notice that they're growing and changing, but you're wondering perhaps how you can be more supportive. Maybe you don't fully agree with how they're being parented and you have some other ideas. Sometimes you may be aware of things that's things that are affecting the grandchildren that you're close to because they confide in you. And so you're wondering, how can I be an advocate for helping sort out what they're going through at school, how they're feeling frustrated and upset about bullying, or how they've lost confidence, but they really secretly, they really wish they could do X, Y or Z, but they're not putting themselves forward, they're not giving themselves the chance. So these sorts of situations that arise are quite common for grandparents, I find. It's important to be able to have a strategy for how you're going to be supportive, because this is your big opportunity in the holidays where you're at most value to the families, providing the support, providing the backup childcare. So you can actually make a difference. You can actually do things that are significant in the lives of these grandchildren of yours, because you can have an input into their mental health. You can actually help relieve some of the tension and anxiety. You can help them relax. You can help them laugh. You can play games with them. You can read. You can do all sorts of old-fashioned things that parents often haven't got time to do. In these processes of having fun and laughing and making things together and reading out loud and telling stories and so on, you get close, you have warm bonds that develop, and these are the magical moments. These are the honeyed moments that children remember and they take with them into their lives. These are what sustain them and make them feel resilient. So it's very important that you get to practice these things, that you get to enjoy your grandchildren, you get to put time into them in the way that is going to be meaningful and valuable. And you don't let anybody prevent that from happening or damage that or get in the road. If there are problems, if the parents are reluctant to let you spend time with them or whatever, try to get to the bottom of what is concerning them. Try to get to the bottom of where their hesitation or their reluctance is coming from. And that may take some patience and some effort on your part, but it's going to pay off. And the biggest advice always is to turn up the ears and put more energy into listening. Listening, maybe reading between the lines, listening, maybe tuning in and pausing. It may be nodding, it may be just having eye contact and putting an arm around somebody. There's not a ready answer for everything, and there's not a magical solution for everything, but there's something in the atmosphere that you create in a relationship where you give off the vibe that you are open to listening, that you're open to receiving, that you're open to acknowledging and accepting the person where they're at in a non-judgmental fashion. Because when you can set aside judgment, when you can set aside your preconceived ideas, when you can think about, oh, she's not doing it the way I do it, and that kind of judgment, when you can put that aside, you open the doors and the windows to more possibilities, and you give hope and you build confidence in the person who's maybe struggling with the parenting role and not feeling too crash hot about what they're doing. It's seldom that things are all wrong and that things are not salvageable. It's very, very seldom. Mostly what it takes is time and the commitment to make a difference. Time and the belief that you want to make a difference, you can make a difference, and you are the difference. So, I leave this thought with you, that you set a goal for this holiday period and think about how you could do the grandparenting differently. And if you're not a grandparent, but you would like to have been, maybe look at how you can do some grandparenting with your friend's grandchildren. Maybe you can join forces with a friend and when they're taking their grandchildren out. Because sometimes extra pairs of hands are very useful when you're out with children and you're trying to cross busy roads and get from A to B to go and see various shows and get to museums and parks and all kinds of things and activities that are on for children. Just getting out and about and doing it all is quite a lot, and if you can help somebody else do it with their grandchildren, they'll be very grateful. So thanks for listening, folks, and next time we're going to have Trish Deans, the Grey Power president from North Shore, and she'll be talking about her experiences of the meeting with Tracy Martin that's coming up this week, and she'll also be talking about what she's got planned in the way of activities and developments on the shore. Everything is going through a change process, and the news is not good, so it's going to require a very forceful effort to get our voices heard, and numbers count. So knowing that over 3,000 people have joined Grey Power in the last year is very significant. On that note, farewell, and we'll be together next week.
Get together with Senior Focus next Sunday at 5:25 p.m. on Planet FM 104.6 or listen online at any time at planetaudio.org.nz/Senior Focus. And do note, Senior Focus is one word.